Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, welcome back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. That's the number to call if you want to ask a question, if you want to answer a question, make a comment, argue with me, or you can even agree with me if you want. Or you may want to ask a question or visit with my special guest this hour, who is Kelly Ohlweiler. Let me tell you a little bit about Kelly. She is, besides having been on the show quite a few times before, she is the founder of Kell Bergen Consulting, a company that focuses on one-on-one executive coaching, team consulting, and innovative thinking processes. She's formerly vice president of High Performance Dynamics, where she was responsible for training and managing consultants and trainers in high-performance technologies and consulting processes in the U.S., in France, England, and Latin America. She's the co-author of an outstanding book that I hold in front of me that I really have enjoyed getting to know, and it's called Paradoxical Thinking, How to Profit from Your Contradictions. Kelly, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. It's nice to be back.
It's always a pleasure to have you, Kelly, and I just enjoy visiting with you. I feel like you and I have become good friends. Folks, Kelly and I have spoken several times off the air, between times when she's been with us on the show, and she's a tremendous resource for all of us small business owners and small business dreamers because of the message that she has. The concept of paradoxical thinking is something that's very interesting to me, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, is some of the things that we have in our lives that we may not be all that aware of, that either they both contribute to our success and they detract from the possibility of our success. And we're going to talk about that today, Kelly, and I appreciate you joining us to help us do that.
Well, thank you. I always love being on your show and having the conversations that we do. They're rich.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Let's go ahead and define paradoxical thinking. Let's set that out first to let people know how we're couching our discussion a little bit here. What is paradoxical thinking?
Well, first let's define paradox.
Good, thank you.
Which is we define it as the seemingly contradictory words, ideas, or actions. And the important part is that it seems contradictory. So a paradox exists when you seem to have two things that would be contrary and go against each other, and actually they exist simultaneously.
Right.
And people, ideas, actions all have inherent paradoxes within them.
What would be an example of a paradox?
An example of a paradox would be in a person would be that somebody is very gentle and yet they can be a tiger and really go after something aggressively at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems as though it wouldn't fit in the same person.
Right.
And yet it could fit very well. And if you didn't have both those things, you could either on the tiger side become deadly,
right,
or on the gentle side become totally ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example of paradox.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And paradoxical thinking involves using your mind to identify where paradoxes lie and learn how to work with them rather than try to make something be one way or another way.
Mm-hmm.
To use your mind to consider and work with it being one way and another way.
Go ahead.
It's that and in between that makes the difference.
So a paradox is the way we are to some people. In fact, you know, there are people who, when someone mentions my name, I'm sure that in different settings there are people who say that I am one way, and another person would say, well, I don't that's not the way I think of Jim. I think of him in another way.
Yes.
Because they might have seen me in a different context.
Yes. And in truth, you're probably both.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I believe that. Now, that's a paradox. That's the paradox example. And the paradoxical thinking is to the degree that I sort of try to contemplate that. I try to identify that in myself and recognize the fact that one person might say, you know, I like Jim a lot. I can always count on him. And another person might say, well, that sure isn't my experience. The last time I dealt with him, he let me down. Or whatever, or someone might say, you know, he's a very happy person. Or and another person might say, well, I didn't see him that way.
Yes.
And paradoxical thinking is recognizing that in ourselves.
Yes. And it's also paradoxical thinking involves recognizing what a person's traits and characteristics are. And we have both negative ones and positive ones. And learning how each one serves us or hinders us.
You know, Kelly, the thing, and some of this, folks, I will tell you, I want to prepare you for this, but I do think it's healthy. Some of this, if you will allow yourself to do a little paradoxical thinking, it can, if you're going to get the most out of it, it's going to be a little bit painful. I mean, Kelly, you may not agree with me, but I think that for some people, especially if you have a little bit of an ego, that if you really take a hard look at yourself, there are some things that you might see that you're going to see that you might not like. And when you, and in my mind, when that happens, it's sort of like when you're exercising. No pain, no gain. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes, I would. And I think also from experience of working with so many people, you know, using paradoxical thinking, that so many are surprised when they find out that the things they didn't like about themselves have a positive value. And the trick of this is identifying what your positive and negative characteristics are. And yes, being as honest as you can. And that part of identifying them and being honest is where I think the pain comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
To really openly admit, yes, I am very impatient with people.
Right.
And I wish I weren't that way, but I can't help it. And whenever something takes too long or people aren't as quick as I am, I get impatient.
Yeah. You know?
So, and you don't feel good about that. And you don't want to admit that that's true about you.
Mm-hmm.
But once you do, there is something that you can then go and do with it so that you can see the value of what your impatience does for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are wondering if you would be able to do paradoxical thinking, if you are wondering if you are a little paradoxical and you'd like for Kelly to talk to you about that, all you got to do is give us a call. She'll talk to you a little bit about it. You don't have to tell us who you are. We don't need to know where you're from. I won't even ask you what radio station you're listening to. 888-822-8255. It's completely anonymous. Give us a call and talk to Kelly. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingen, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is my very good friend, and yours too, Kelly Ohlweiler. She's the co-author of an outstanding book called Paradoxical Thinking I'd like to recommend to you. And I'm going to give you a chance to win a copy of it if you want to by answering one of my trivia questions. And or if you would like to, call in and talk to us about your situation. Are you feeling that you're not as successful as you really think you ought to be, or you're whatever it might be, there's something that's holding you back a little bit, or you're wondering how other people might see you. Maybe you've been having difficulty in interviews, or maybe getting business. You've been losing a lot of sales lately. Whatever, maybe some of your paradoxes are showing through, and some of the wrong ones are showing through. And Kelly would be glad to talk to you about that if you'd like to give us a call. As I said, it will be completely anonymous. If you call in, Chuck has my instructions to not even ask you any questions if you want. If that's what you'd like, you can tell us whatever you want. 888-822-8255. Kelly, one of the things that I know that and you point this out, and we've talked about this before, that people have are images of themselves. They see themselves. I see myself as a certain way, and sometimes I see myself badly, and sometimes I see myself positively. But when I see myself badly, that doesn't mean that I'm right. And when I see myself positively, I could also be wrong about that.
That's right. That's right. That's a good way to say it, because every way that we are has an upside and a downside.
Mm-hmm.
And if you learn what those are, it's much easier to operate in the upside of all of them.
Right.
So, for example, if you say you own a business, mm-hmm. and you think, you know, that you're successful in your business, and you realize, well, I'm probably successful because I'm pretty well organized. Maybe you're good at assessing customer needs, or you're a hard worker or quick twitcher, meaning, you know, you can respond quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all really positive things. And then what you need to look at is if you take, say, well organized, you have to ask yourself the question, what's good about that?
Mm-hmm.
And get clear about that. But then you also have to ask yourself the question, what if well-organized is carried too far?
Right. I'm obsessive about it, and I don't get anything else done.
Exactly. Well, then
yeah.
You have a downside because you become obsessed. You are so focused on organization that you may not be able to be innovative or creative in your thinking because you're getting too organized.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to avoid that. And then... if, you know, you can also probably, most of us have areas that, you know, we don't like too much about ourselves. And I know I've always thought I'm too lazy, and I've never liked that. You know, somebody might think they procrastinate too much,
mm-hmm.
or that, you know, they might be too shy or aggressive or maybe too detail-oriented or not big picture enough. You know, it's things like that that we carry around that we don't like and we wish we could get rid of, so we try to get rid of it. What we do is we try to obliterate it from our lives and our personality. And the thing is, obliteration never works. It's very hard. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I know for me, trying to get rid of my lazy side, I was pretty good at getting rid of it for a while, but it would always want to creep back in the
yeah.
worst of times, right?
Yeah.
What you have to do is see, well, what does my lazy side do for me? How does it help me? What are the positives that this actually brings? And in my case, what lazy in its positive form does is it keeps me relaxed. It helps me maintain a balance because when I'm not being lazy, I am really working hard.
Right.
And if that's all I did, I'd probably have a heart attack.
And maybe that demeanor, that what you're calling laziness, is actually a part of your persona that somebody, some customer or prospect likes in you. They like the way you come across.
Exactly. Because it also, my lazy side is the laid back side.
Yeah.
And people like to be around someone who's laid back as long as I'm not too laid back.
You know, I don't know if this fits. You tell me if it does. But I used to do this when I was pounding the pavement as a professional salesperson years and years ago for a couple of Fortune 100 companies. There would be days when I just didn't feel like working. I felt lazy that day.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the little tricks that I would do is whenever I felt lazy and it was a work day and I knew I had to be at work, I still didn't just go play pool or golf or bowling or stay home and watch TV. I still got up and got dressed and I said, okay, maybe I'm not going to make a lot of calls today, but I am going to stay in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go and I would visit with someone or I'd spend too much time at the coffee shop or whatever. But invariably, on the days when I had declared that I was going to be lazy, somehow I'd make a contact or get some business out of doing what I was doing.
Yes, and it's because you're not fighting it. What you're doing is learning how to use it to your advantage.
Exactly. Stay with us. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our special guest is our very good friend, Kelly Owyler. She's the co-author of a book called Paradoxical Thinking, How to Profit from Your Contradictions. We all have them, folks. We all have contradictions. We all have paradoxes in our lives. And those of us who recognize that we do and try to deal with them, try to focus on them a little bit, try to ask ourselves questions, ask others questions about ourselves who pay attention when people react to us one way or another when we are who we are. Those of us who do that, I think, are going to prosper and do well, at least do better in life, socially, business, and professionally. Those of us who wander through life in an obtuse way, in a fog, thinking that however I am is just wonderful, if it's me, it must be great. Those of you who do that, those of us who do that, I think you're in for a lot of lumps in life. And Kelly is here to help us sort all that out. And Kelly, I appreciate you doing that. I always learn so much when you join us on the show.
Well, I enjoy talking with you very
yeah.
much, Jim. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Let's keep talking just a little bit longer about positive and negative traits and how we identify those in ourselves. You know, I mentioned something a minute ago about going through life thinking that I'm so wonderful, so it must be, I am who I am, so it must be great, or it must be wonderful. You and I both know people like that. We know people who go through life and have a lot to offer, but never really think that they did. And one example, and I mentioned this off the air, that I really like this example. It's not a business example, but Marilyn Monroe thought, I think she probably died thinking that she probably wasn't a very good actress. And the more I watch her old movies, the more I appreciate her acting ability.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever thought about that or not.
Definitely. And if you read some of her biographies, the way that she was before she started acting, she really developed a whole personality, mm-hmm. which took a tremendous amount of acting to be able to do and to maintain it.
Right.
So she was quite outstanding. And I think you're right. I think that she died not really seeing her abilities and talents and recognizing herself. And a lot of that had to do with self-esteem.
Right. And what we want to do, folks, Kelly and I want to make sure that in your life that you recognize the things that you do well and how, even though you may think that they're not all that great, let's recognize those and use them to your advantage and identify the things that you might think are pretty darn good, but in reality are actually holding you back. And we want to try to help you identify some of those things. Kelly, how can we do that? How do we identify things that are positive and negative in our lives?
Well, make a list. Take a day or a week and write down as many traits and characteristics that you can think of about yourself. And if you're really brave, you can ask your friends to help you, your colleagues, your spouse, your parents. If you're feeling shy about it, usually we have a good friend or a colleague that would help us do that.
A really good friend. You can't ask your mother these questions, though, can you?
Some people do.
Really?
I'm not sure I would.
Well,
I mean,
you know, your mother thinks you're beautiful and talented and wonderful and all these things, you know. How do you ask your mother? That might be more painful for her than you.
That's true.
But a sister. Then, how about a sister or a brother?
A sister or a brother.
Yeah, they're usually very, very quick with those comments, aren't they?
And also, what is also true is when we ask our family members, it does tend to be tainted with our upbringing.
Right.
So,
got some baggage
friends,
there.
Your spouse is usually a good person to talk to because they haven't known you your whole life, but they've known you a good deal of it.
Ooh, the spouse thing sounds dangerous to me. See, I would probably say I'm not going there.
Well, I think people
Kelly, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make light of our discussion because
I don't
feel that way at all. No. anyway, go ahead.
Many people, I think, would choose not to do that. And again, I think that going to friends and colleagues is probably your best bet.
You know, a mentor. If you have a mentor, someone that you can look up to,
someone who
obviously in the pecking order of life is a little bit ahead of you in success and in age, and you would probably take their opinion maybe a little bit better because you know that you're not really competing with that person.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
I think that's a good idea.
Now go ahead.
The thing to remember is once you get the list, if you have included what other people see as your traits and characteristics and
mm-hmm.
your qualities, you always can discard those that you truly disagree with in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's, you know, if there's a grain of truth in it, you can keep it. If
right.
you think, you know, this really is not me, get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is your own self-assessment. And then you want to ask yourself, which of these traits make me successful? And which are the ones that are getting in my way or causing me problems once you have your list. And then once you know you've identified some of those, you want to give real attention to identifying both the positive and negative sides. I think of it as every trait as being like a coin. There's two sides to the coin.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever side it's laying on, we tend to think that's all there is,
mm-hmm.
you know, what we can see. But you got to pick it up and turn it over and see what the other side is about as well.
Kelly, let me ask you a question, and we're coming up on a break. It seems to me that when you make your list, you're going to have to revisit it several times, maybe even lay it down and leave it alone for a few days or a week or so and come back, because it would seem to me that the first time, maybe even the second time through your list, you're not going to get the right perspectives from yourself.
Yeah, I suggest taking about at least a week.
Yeah.
And you'll find that you'll add to it on and off.
Right. Stand by, Kelly. We're going to take a break. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about high performance and what your high performance pattern is. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Join us. All right, we are back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend, Kelly Oldweiler. She's the co-author of Paradoxical Thinking, How to Profit from Your Contradictions. Her co-author is Jerry Fletcher. And the two of them spent a good bit of time talking about something that I want Kelly to talk about to us right now. In their book, they talk about high performance and something they call a high performance pattern. Kelly, tell us what high performance is.
High performance, there are really two ways of doing work. One is what we call a grinded out mode. The other is the high performance mode. And the grinded out mode is where you aim for predetermined results. It tends to be hard. It's a grinding out effort. We all know that one, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're exhausted usually when it's over and very glad that it's out of your life. Now, high performance is different. This is the mode of work where you're going for something that's much better than the expected result.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're into it, it tends to be easy and flowing, and we all know what that's like. It's very energizing. And usually when it's over, we tend to be sorry and we have a longing because it felt so good while we were doing it.
Mm.
So the definition of high performance, I would say, is producing results that go much better than expected, either by a person or by a company.
But it doesn't. But it's not likely to last for a long time, though, right?
No, high performance is for periods of time. And if we were actually in it all the time, I don't think we'd be real.
One of the things you used the word grind a minute ago. One of the things I follow. I like to think of myself as a golfer. I own a set of clubs. I don't get to play as much as I'd like. But one of the things that you hear people, if you watch professional golf on television, one of the things you hear the commentators talk about is that so and so is a grinder. And what they mean, I think they mean exactly what you were talking about. Day after day, week after week, year after year, this guy is consistently, he never really sets the world on fire. He's underrated, maybe. He's got some real talents, but for some reason, he just doesn't wind up in the winner's circle all that much, but he makes a real good living. He's, you know, in the top group, so to speak, the top 25 or 50 or whatever. And then they talk about the guys who, and they don't use the word high performance like you do, But they do use grinder there are people on the tour who are high performance people.
Mm-hmm.
And they do just exactly what you're talking about. And I had not thought about those two examples in terms of business people. It's very interesting.
Yes, and I think it's the same idea.
I think you're right, exactly.
And the thing that Jerry and I both found so interesting is that as we began interviewing people, and we have probably close to 8,000 patterns, high-performance patterns, that we got for individuals through a series of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has a different high-performance pattern, a different sequence of steps that they carry out and conditions that are present whenever they have a task or an activity or a project that they're working on go much better than expected.
Mm-hmm.
And every person's is different. Which really was a surprise.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a high performance pattern. That's the way I, as an individual, how my performance, my high performance manifests itself. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. And the way you do it will be very. Say you and I are working on the same activity. The way you manifest in a high performance will be very different from the way that I manifest performance.
What are the chances that I don't even know that I have such a thing?
Oh, the chances are very good. Most of us don't know that we do it. We do it automatically.
Uh-huh.
But if we can figure out what it is we do and the sequence that we do it in and what gets us, we call it hooked in, to a particular situation, then we can make much better decisions about what it is we're going to do or how we're going to go about doing something.
What would a high performance pattern, a component of a high performance pattern, look like? Would it be like, I feel better in the afternoon than in the morning, or I work better in the summer than the winter, I like this kind of a person or to work with?
Let me explain the structure, and I think that will help. There usually are between 9 and 20 steps in a pattern, and it's divided into four phases just to make it easier to work with,
mm-hmm.
to identify and to work with. The first phase is the getting drawn in phase. This is the phase, and the steps in the beginning, which identify what it is that particularly attracts you. And I think of it as a slide screen. You know how you go over to a friend's house and they're showing you a slideshow of their vacation?
Oh, yeah. And I love those.
You know, the slides are going by, and then all of a sudden one goes by, and you go, wait, wait, go back to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what attracted you to that particular slide when all the others were going by? Well, every day we have hundreds of things come at us, you know, different stimuli, and we ignore a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be something that grabs our attention and we get hooked in. And so for one person, it might be that there's something that's very tricky to it, but there's a long-range payoff, and that it seems like the right thing to do. And if you have that combination of things, it grabs your attention. Then the rest of the pattern, the next phase is, what do you do to get drawn in? What do you do to get it rolling? So getting it rolling is phase two. These are the things that you do to get it off to a good start. And it could be, you know, researching or planning, but how you do it will be unique to you. The third phase is keeping it rolling. Most people think that once you get something going, it just goes. But I would bet most of us have had the experience that if something fizzles out.
Right.
Then we have the last phase, which is, how do you end something that you're working on? And there's some very particular ways in which people do that.
Thank you, Kelly. That was a great explanation. And folks, I want to talk about high performance when we come back again with Kelly. And also, I want to ask her if there's such a thing as a low performance pattern. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with my good friend and yours, Kelly Ohlweiler. She is the author, the co-author of a book called Paradoxical Thinking, How to Profit from Your Contradictions. Kelly, tell our audience where they can get your book and how they can contact you if they'd like.
They can get my book by contacting me at my email address, which is H, P as in Paul, D as in David, K-E-L-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
At AOL.com, and I'd be happy to send them one.
All right. And as far as bookstores or online?
You can order it from Amazon.com. Thanks
okay.
for reminding me.
Yeah.
And you can also order it from your local bookstore.
Okay.
And it usually takes a few days to get it, but
okay.
That should work fine.
Sounds good. Folks, I recommend you check it out. And also, you're available if someone would like to have you do one-on-one coaching or coaching a group, a team in a company or whatever. They can contact you, and you would help them to deal with their paradoxical thinking and their high performance.
Yes, yes.
Give us the phone number again.
Including that.
Give us the phone number again.
The phone number is 415-892-1464. And the email address again is H, P as in Paul, D as in David, K-E-L-L-E, at AOL.com.
And you're a columnist in a new magazine, too, aren't
you? Yes, in Money World Magazine.
Money World Magazine.
And I write about some of the philosophical issues of money. And this, I think, coming up, we're going to be having one of some of the things to look to avoid and to incorporate if you are starting or already own a small business.
Right, and so that's Money World Magazine, folks. I recommend you check it out. Kelly, we were talking in the last segment about high-performance patterns. Is there such a thing as a low-performance pattern?
Yes. Now, but low-performance pattern, the pattern tends to vary. It isn't much like a high-performance pattern, which stays quite consistent.
Mm-hmm.
A low-performance pattern usually comes because you are off what we call pattern.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're not in your high-performance mode. You aren't going into it on a regular basis, so you fall into sort of a flat way of operating.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be described as a low-performance pattern. But the pattern tends not to be consistent. And your low performance can show up in a variety of different ways, not the same way each time.
But now, when you were talking about being a high-performance pattern, And then being out of that high performance pattern, and you say you're down, you missed that a little bit. When you're off of your high performance, do you consider yourself to be in low performance?
Usually, then you're in a maintenance mode.
Okay.
And what we find from the interviews we've done that people will be working on three or four things at a time, and what you want to try and do is be in a high-performance mode with at least one of them.
Right.
And somehow that creates an energy that spills over into the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And then when you come down, you're almost in a resting period. Not necessarily low performance, though, and it won't be too long before you kick back in to another high-performance task or project.
I see.
If you don't kick into one, then you really want to look at what's going on.
Right.
And you may be living in a situation that makes it very difficult for what attracts you to take place.
Kelly, thank you very much. We've got to wrap it up for this hour. Thank you very much for being with us today. As always, you did a great job helping us to understand our high-performance pattern as well as the paradoxes in our life. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
It's always a pleasure. All right, folks, got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.